everybody, and welcome to Daytona International Speedway. We are going to get started with our media availabilities in advance of Saturday's Coke Zero Sugar 400. And we are joined by the defending winner of this race, Eric Jones, driver of the number 20 Sport Clips Toyota. We will open up to questions. Please raise your hand. We'll get a wireless mic. We'll start up here with Lee and then go to Greg and Nate.
Thank you. Lee Spencer, RacingBoys.com. Eric, take us through the last lap of your win, and at what point did you know, hey, I've got this thing locked up?
Well, I remember that whole last sequence of restarts, and the last one, you know, green-white checkered there. We were kind of stuck side-by-side with Martin for that first lap, and then coming around to take the white, I could kind of see the top line forming behind me and was hoping they were going to stick with me and get a good push. And going down the backstretch, Martin was really trying to side draft hard. And we got a really good push from the 37 and got clean of Martin there. And I knew at that point going into three that the only way we were probably going to lose it was a catastrophic failure. So defending the last block or the last move that Martin could make and getting to the checkered. So it was really not until coming out of four, I would say I knew it was pretty locked in, but definitely remember everything about those last few laps for sure.
What about the party after?
It was good. Yeah, well, it was funny. We didn't get home until, it had to be 3 a.m. And I had to fly out and go to Slinger the next day for a late model race. So we didn't, I don't know if we went to sleep, but we flew up there and went up and practiced that day in the late model. And then finally, had to celebrate that night, so it was cool. I had a lot of buddies that came over, actually, to Wisconsin from Michigan to come celebrate, so it was a lot of fun.
We'll go to Greg, Nate, and then Jordan.
Hey, Eric. Greg Engel, Auto Week and CupScene.com. Two quick questions. Coming back here as the defending winner, how does that feel? Does it give you extra motivation to win Saturday night? And this is the last July 4th race for the foreseeable future here. Is that a big deal, having that tradition going away or not?
Well, coming back as a defending winner always feels good. You know, any race you can come back to in any track. And for me, it definitely gives you that extra little bump to know you want to keep being the defending winner and come back again and do it again. But as far as the race moving from 4th of July, it's kind of disappointing for me, I guess. You know, growing up, you always had the big 4th of July race at Daytona, and that's where everybody was. And on Saturday night, that's what you did, watch the race at Daytona, no matter when the 4th was. And so it's a little bit of a bummer. You know, it's a tradition. Everybody loves tradition and kind of some of the things in the sport that have stuck around for a long time, and this is one of those things. And I'm sad to see it go. It's a change of the times, I guess. But you never know. Maybe we'll make it back over here for the 4th one day.
Go to Nate.
Nate Ryan, NBC Sports. Eric, a lot of talk about manufacturer alliances, obviously the last time here at Talladega a couple months ago. Do you think it'll be a familiar storyline Saturday night where manufacturers will be a big determinant in the outcome?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we were talking about it just the other day as a group. We've got some strong race cars, but unfortunately, there's only 5 Toyotas out there, and that doesn't give us a lot to work with the other manufacturers having a lot more. So, we'll do all we can, and I know we'll have fast cars, but it's definitely going to be manufacturer dominated with the other two really linking up and sticking together. I think they saw what Toyota's done the last, even well before I was racing Cup, with working together and making sure that they were in the place they needed to be, and the other guys have really caught on now the last few years.
Go to Jordan.
Jordan Bianchi, The Athletic. Your teammate Denny Hamlin last week had what he thought was a questionable penalty on pit road for an uncontrolled tire. We've seen that a few times this year. Some drivers have said they would like to see a little bit more of common sense enacted when it comes to applying penalties. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, I've got some odd penalties in my NASCAR time too. You know, there's weird things sometimes to get called that you wouldn't think would. It's tough for me to say. I mean, I saw the video and I saw the call. I've seen some other uncontrolled tires that maybe didn't get called. So it's a strike and ball call, right? I mean, you're judging it a little bit from their eyes to make that call and determine what was an uncontrolled tire. So I get it's the rule and that's what's in the rule book. And technically, that was a penalty, what they got called for. Was it a safety issue? Not really. So I don't know. I mean, there is probably more common sense judgment that could be used there rather than just black and white. This is the rule. We can call it either way. But, you know, if they're going to get into the judgment calls, that makes it a whole nother mess, right? Then you're calling people that sometimes get it, sometimes don't. I'd rather have them kind of stick to the black and white and make the call.
Come over here to the far right to Claire and then go to Dustin.
Claire Belang, SiriusXM NASCAR Radio. I spoke with Ricky Stenhouse Jr. yesterday. He thought that the racing would be different here in that you, it's not that you wouldn't need friends, but you won't stick with someone the whole race and you'll have different friends at different times maybe pushing you, but that the nature of the race will be totally different as far as friends and people pushing you, et cetera, and sticking with people. Can you define that? Is that true?
Yeah, I think, you know, I've only been Super Speedway racing since 2014 in the trucks and only in Cup for, you know, since 17. So even since then, Super Speedway racing's changed a lot. Everybody's gotten so aggressive and they're quick to move lanes and leave you hanging, leave you out to dry. And I think everybody's kind of realized that that's what you got to do to win. You know, we saw for so long there, and even still the Penske cars, the 22 being so dominant on Super Speedways, and he doesn't make any friends. He's making the moves that's going to advance him, and he's watching out for number one, right? And I think everybody's kind of taking that mentality on now of you got to watch out for yourself. You got to make the moves that are going to make the best day for yourself, especially late in the race. Early in the race, you see the Manufacturer Alliance and those guys working together, but those last 50 laps, you know, it kind of breaks up and everybody's just doing what they got to do to watch out for themselves.
Go to Dustin, Holly, and then Kelly.
Dustin Long, NBC Sports. Eric, how did the Manufacturer Alliances inhibit what you were able to do at Talladega then? Because as you mentioned, you know, everything kind of opens up the last 50 laps. Or how does that change here? Because this is a more narrow track, and how did that inhibit you at Talladega, and how does that play into here then more so?
Well, you know, I felt like at Talladega we were just kind of trying to tag on with some of the other guys, right? Tag on to their lines because they were so much bigger than ours, and just trying to make the most of what we had. But as far as coming back here, the racing will be different here than it was at Talladega. You know, I think everybody's had time now to work on this package and get it better and optimize it a little bit. Daytona's a lot different track, as you mentioned, than Talladega. So I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see. I think it's definitely a little bit tougher for some of the manufacturers to really take advantage of the alliance. With it being so narrow, there's not sometimes really anywhere to go at Daytona. I think that kind of plays in our hand a little bit as well. If we can get out in the front and kind of command the race and get that line rolling around the top, I think, you know, the Toyotas will stay strong up there. So I'd say this race probably plays better into our hand with having less cars. It's easy to say now. I'll tell you more in about 10 o'clock Saturday night. But, you know, going into it, I think we all feel a little bit better about it.
Go to Holly, Kelly, and then Jerry.
Holly Kay, the NASCAR Wire Service. Could you talk, do you enjoy the Super Speedway racing? I mean, you did well in the Daytona 500. You're coming off a win here before. Is this something you really like? And does the change in the rules kind of make everyone back at scratch? Or do you feel like you still, you know, have somewhat of an edge because you race well?
Well, you know, it's become something I've liked. Early in my career, it drove me crazy because I just wasn't very good at it. I didn't really understand it. I felt like I was always the victim, always getting caught in wrecks. But it's funny, you know, a lot of the times, as much as it's out of your control, it's also in your control. And just knowing better situationally, becoming more aware on the super speedways of what situations are bad and what situations you don't want to be in, I think has helped me a lot. Learning more about the draft, where to position yourself, where you need to be at certain points in the race, those things have all made me enjoy it more, just learning more about it and figuring out how to be better at it. I don't think any driver likes to do things they aren't good at. And, you know, eventually I've really come to enjoy it. And there's still things out of your control, but you have to go into the weekend knowing that and just take it as, hey, we're going to do all we can, right? This is a great opportunity for anybody in the field to win. And you got to go into it with that mentality that, at the end of the day, if you get taken out in a wreck that wasn't your fault, it's going to happen. But I feel like I've learned a lot and gotten quite a bit better at it. So it's something I definitely like a lot more.
Go to Kelly.
Kelly Crandall, Racer.com. Eric, coming in here now, the first guy outside the playoff grid, have you and Chris Gayle talked about how you'll approach the next nine races? Do you stay business as usual, or do you change your approach between trying to get into the playoff grid? And then I have a second one.
Well, I think for us, our goal is 30 points a race, right? And that's about a seventh place finish. And if we can do that each and every week, nine straight races, that's a lot to ask. But, you know, I feel like we can. And if we can do that, you know, we'll easily point our way in without a win. So we know we can win a race. We got good tracks coming up here. Obviously, this weekend's good. Kentucky's good to us, and a few more along the way going back to Bristol. So there's some tracks marked down we feel like we can win at. But as long as we can continue just to crank out, you know, that 30 points a race, guys will make mistakes. We'll just keep pointing our way up there and get to it. But really our year, you know, we've missed out on so many stage points. It's killed us. Looking back, there's been so many races we haven't gotten enough stage points, and it's really put us farther back in the points than we want to be. And obviously some unfortunate circumstances with some DNFs. So just some things that we could have done probably a little bit better to earn more points in races. But I would say at this point our goal is 30 a race, and if we can do that, we'll be okay.
So to that end, has this season more just been kind of circumstances have not really shown that you guys are better than what your finishes have been?
Yeah, I mean, some of it's been our own fault, right? You know, Phoenix, you look back at there a few months ago, it was a loose wheel to start the race, blow tire, get in the wall, ruins our day. Charlotte, we blow right front. Whether that's our fault or not, I don't know. But there's Bristol, you know, loose wheel, go three laps down. So there's been so many races where it's like, you know, you just kind of take yourself out of it, and that's what you can't do in this sport and trying to make the playoffs. So we've had fast cars in Sonoma. We had another good car, just had to start at the back. Chicago, we had an okay car but made a good day out of it. So we've got good cars. We just need to have things go our way. We need to execute better on our end, on all fronts, and make sure we're doing all we can to get the best finish we can.
We're going to go to Jerry, Edgar, and then Melissa.
Jerry Jordan, KickingTheTires.net. I don't know if you looked at this or not, but except for the crash at Kentucky, your worst finish there across Trucks, Xfinity, and Cup is eighth. What is it about that track that makes you so good there, and why do you like it?
Yeah, I remember the crash I had there well. That was a dumb one. That was all. I still regret that one. But Kentucky, I don't know. It's always been a place I've liked. Even before the repave, I felt really comfortable on the old surface and just enjoyed it. And then I was after the repave, I was thinking, man, I don't know if it's still going to be good for me. And it's just, I don't know. It's somewhere unique. You know, one and two doesn't seem to make a big difference. I've always really focused on three and four and making sure my car handled well and got through there well. And that's where I've always focused and made a lot of passes, made a lot of time, and ran well at. So I just enjoy it. I like the track. I like the layout. And just the way it drives has been something that has kind of fit my style, I guess, from the start. That real flat turn three and four has always been kind of the sweet spot for me. Just getting through there, I've always felt really comfortable.
We'll go in the back to Edgar, and then we'll wrap up the front with Melissa.
Yeah, Edgar Thompson, the Orlando Sentinel. Given the success of Joe Gibbs' race and winning, is that frustrating for you, motivating, a little of both?
A little of both. I think that's a good way to put it. You know, it's frustrating in the sense I feel like we can win and just haven't executed to do it. Motivating in the sense that the cars are fast enough to do it and that we can go out and make it happen here in these next nine races. So, you know, it's been, I would say, probably the best cars I've had since my rookie year. We had really fast cars in 17. Last year, our cars were good. But I felt like in areas we were lacking. And then this year, again, I feel like our cars are really, really good. So it is frustrating not to be able to take advantage of that, right, and get those wins. But I feel like we are on a good path right now with the way we've ran the last few weeks and what we've done in the races to close it out here. As long as we can get the race to play out the way we need it to, I think this weekend will be good, but I really am looking forward to Kentucky and the way I think that race is going to go.
How's that team dynamic work? Did guys try to pick you up, or is it every man for himself, or how's that go?
Kind of every man for himself. I mean, we all work together very closely, the drivers, the crew chiefs, the engineers, but, you know, as far as performance goes, I would say it's within each team, right? You know, Chris and I talk and work through things together, but, you know, the other teams don't don't focus on that. They focus on themselves and running the best they can and getting the best finish they can, you know, away from sharing the information.
I'm going to wrap up with Melissa.
Melissa Thomas of Florida National News. Piggybacking off of that, what things are you telling yourself? What are the different items of motivation that you surround yourself with to keep going? What keeps you awake? What makes you get out of bed in the morning to keep going?
Well, you know, I'm lucky. I'm a very optimistic person, number one. And for me, just, you know, the opportunity that I have coming to the racetrack each week keeps me going, you know, getting up each day and pushing, working, you know, talking with the team, doing what I need to do on my end to make sure that, you know, we're putting forth the full effort. And then, you know, just looking back at the journey it took to get here, right? All this work to get to this level keeps you going every day, right? This is what, for me, this is what I've worked for my whole life, was to be at the cup level and be with a top tier team. And that's what keeps driving me, knowing that I'm here, this is the opportunity, and, you know, do what you got to do to make it work on your end.
Well, Eric, thanks for joining us, and good luck this weekend.
Thanks.